I'm going to talk about imitation and innovation in risk language. It's a joint exploration with Diane Barton, David Strang, and Charles Whitehead, and Fedor Dokshin. And we are going to talk about risk language in mortgage-backed securities. And it is particularly inspired by people after financial crisis. People are talking so much about what are they talking about in mortgage-backed securities? What are the risk disclosures there? So that kind of led us to this context. But the bigger question we were trying to answer is how risk discourses, where do they come from, and how do they spread? So that's a very, very bigger theme we wanted to address, and it's a context we're exploring here. So let's define a few things first very quickly. What is a mortgage-backed security? Mortgage-backed security is basically a piece of paper that gives you claims to underlying cash flows, and the cash is coming from individual housing loans, basically. And there are lots of entities involved in between from the loans being sold as mortgage-backed securities. And I also use the term prospectus. What is a mortgage-backed securities prospectus? So it's a document, it's basically an advertising like a document that that the issuer of mortgages, like MBS, sends out to the investors. And I also said risk factor section. What is a risk factor section? It's a section that discusses investment risks associated with investment in MBS. Now, the data we use a very simple MBS structure, which is US issuer fixed coupon for our initial exploration using Thomson Reuters data, and it gives us a sample size of 1,000 over the period 2002 to 2012. And to see whether there is any imitation story in this risk factor discussion, we do a simple plagiarism check. We construct a plagiarism score that basically compares each document with every other document, and using six word phrases or greater match, and then gives it a score between 0 to 100, and 100 means 100% copy, exact copy, and 0 means no copy at all. And what is really surprising is we find that there are only 432 documents which are unique, and the rest of the documents are exact copy from these 430 documents. We were very, very surprised what's going on. And and further exploration leads us to this. When a lot of mortgage-backed securities are being issued in a bundle, they call it MBS package, irrespective of what like credit rating, loan-to-value ratio, all other characteristics you could think about, they basically put them in the same bundle using one document, which is exactly similar to each other. So that's now the question is, the next two questions we want to ask is this imitation driven by typical underlying characteristics among the unique ones? We know the exact copies, but what about the unique ones? And some of the underlying characteristics one would think about is credit rating, average loan-to-value ratios, and average FICO scores of the underlying borrowers. And then the second thing sociologists would really like to think about is who are the actors? Is it coming out from the same actor? And if we look at mortgage-backed security issuance process, really we need to think about the ultimate parent, because a lot of these securities came out from really some artificial entities or investment vehicles. And we also want to think about different types of legal counsels or lawyers involved, because they are known to be instrumental in crafting these documents. So we tracked all these actors and information, and now after we track that, the next question we ask is, well, is this if there is imitation so much, is it similar by this risk characteristics, and how do you go about measuring that? So there are many ways of saying documents are similar. One is, I just showed plagiarism score, but it has its own limitations. So we applied a few other approaches. So one approach is you consider each document as a vector, and each word in the document as a dimension of the vector. And the word count of that word is basically length of the vector, and that gives us a lot, like ways to measure a lot, like Euclidean distance among documents and cosine similarities among documents. And everyone has its own merits and demerits. And then once we can measure that, we can come up with a very non-parametric, clustering. Do documents cluster? So now we can ask, do documents cluster by the characteristics? Do documents cluster by the actors? And then that's what we explored, and I'm going to show only a very few graphs. So here I'm showing you five clusters. So these are document clusters. You see five different colors, and then the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 you're seeing, these are loan-to-value ratio quintiles. So if loan-to-value ratio is a very important, you know, risk category everyone is thinking about, if it is something that explains everything about risk discussion, then all ones, all quintile ones, like one should be in the same cluster of documents. But we don't necessarily see that. If we blow up a little bit, we see, you know, 5, 4, 3, 1, 2 all bundled up together. So the typical risk categories that are often talked about are not necessarily a good approximation of the risk discussion that's underlying. So we have something to new learn from this text analysis. That's the point I want to make. And then we went ahead and checked. This is a very, very lousy slide, but it tells us that there are lot of actors involved now. So these are names of different lawyers involved in each mortgage-backed security. Now the question is, do lawyers consistently copy each other? Do they copy from someone else? Are they similar to each other in some way? So this kind of characterization tells us something about that. And the overall summary from this is that there are some law firms which are really don't change their template at all. They are always falling in the same document cluster. But there are some law firms, irrespective of documents being similar, they bring in some innovation. You know, like new language, new risk categories. So that's something we get out of this exercise. Now, one question we would ask is, well, that's all about there's something going on, some imitation going on, but what is it? So that what is it questions lead us to topic models, because we can get to see what topics are coming and what topics, who is bringing what topics, things like that. And so we did different variations of topic models, and we find a few things. First, topic models confirm something we knew to be obvious. So there is a topic that basically talk about new housing finance authority, which was constructed after financial crisis, and topic model picks it up. It was very comforting to see it picks up something we know to be obvious. And then what is more interesting is it picks up a lot of topics. I just put up two here that we thought it's obvious and should be there, but it's not there. So for example, underwriting and rating process, all the fault lines that can happen in this process. These things were not discussed before financial crisis, but if you look at typical, you know, mortgage-backed security issuance process from textbooks undergrad, a textbook, you'd say, oh, that's very obvious, it should be there. And then there are lots of actors involved in the MBS issuance process. They are not at all talked about before financial crisis. So we find something new, and it confirms also something we knew from before. So overall findings is typical risk categories, the summary risk categories such as credit rating, loan-to-value ratios, FICO scores, do not necessarily predict all risk discourses. That's one big point. The second point is, yeah, there are some actors who are innovators, while others, like there are some who also imitate. So there are something going on there as well. So now what we are trying to figure out is kind of coming up with more dynamic channels of imitation innovation story based on topic models, and then also rigorous comparison of topic models and clustering results with some sort of manual coding. And then future work, we are thinking of maybe exploring more context for a more generalizable theory, and I'm sure Diane Barton is gonna bring us more funds to do that. So thank you.